This is Grafted Together with ACSI Chief Ministry Officer Jerry Nelson.
Virginia A. Nelson, Maddie A. Brundage. Women you've never heard of, but women who have made a significant impact on the advancement of the gospel, especially my life. Hi, I'm Jerry Nelson, and this is Grafted Together. Although the Christian message has been one of the salvation of souls, its effects on the world's social agenda has been undeniable. As God has individually transformed the lives of many, they have taken this message and affected change in others. The same compassion exhibited by Christ for the hungry, the sick, the lame, and the outcast has effectually been transferred to those who carry the good news. And just like Christ, the purpose for his compassion was not centered on or limited to the various miracles he performed. The goal was to impart and ensure that the recipients receive the permanent cure for their souls, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. However, a part of the good news is that God would restore all things back to his original design. In the two-part book series of Luke, we receive hints of this restorative agenda inherent in the gospel, where women are now elevated and given special recognition as key players in the spread of the gospel. This legacy would continue to carry on. And although there are several other social issues addressed in the gospel, the issue of women's rights and their subsequent liberation, particularly in the West, has roots in the message of Christianity. In the book of Luke, we find women active in all of the important events of Jesus' ministry on earth. It was a woman who nurtured the Savior of the world. Luke tells us that it was said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." It says in Luke 2:52, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Who did the nurturing there? It was women who supported Jesus' ministry financially. Luke also records these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Women were there and present at the crucifixion. Luke again records a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. They made the necessary preparations for his burial. Luke records the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. And it was women who were the first to report the news of Jesus' resurrection to the disciples. Luke again records, "When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles." You know, dispersed throughout the Bible are women who have assumed very important and monumental roles in the advancement of God's kingdom. We think of Ruth, Esther, and of course Mary are amongst the most well-known figures in Scripture. However, it can be argued that lesser-known women in the Bible, some unnamed, have been just as significant in the spread of the gospel and the advancement of God's kingdom. Moses was nurtured by Pharaoh's daughter and subsequently his mother. It tells us in Exodus chapter 2, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket amongst the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the women took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." It was Paul who gave due praise to Timothy's grandmother and mother for the faith that was effectually transferred to him. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." The testimony of history is clear. Women, in large part, were second-class citizens and enjoyed freedom little more than slaves. Even in advanced cultures of the Greeks, Romans, and Jews, women were discriminated against, not just in practice or cultural norms, but by the law. For women to enjoy cultural respect amongst men was an exception, not the rule, such as the case of Lydia. However, when Jesus comes on the scene, he goes to the extent of visibly breaking the rabbinic codes established according to the laws of Moses regarding women. Alvin Schmidt, in How Christianity Changed the World, notes this. Scholars note that in the prevailing culture, only prostitutes and women of very low repute would follow a man without a male escort. So comforting was Christ's message that honorable women defied conventional social norms in order to follow him, and he uttered no words of reproof. End quote. Jesus also broke with the Jewish law that Samaritans were not to be associated with. In the case of the woman at the well, we see that Jesus breaks four of these laws. Number one, he speaks to a Samaritan. Number two, he speaks to a woman. Thirdly, he proceeds to teach the woman. And fourthly, he asked her for a drink. Jesus was clearly setting an example to be followed, as he was clearly defiant against the laws that existed during that time. However, this example, although Jesus' primary purpose was not women's liberation, it has served as a standard to correct the church as it melds with cultural norms that traditionally discriminated against women. Clearly, this elevation of women by Jesus has been one of the catalysts that has helped spread the gospel, grow the body of believers, and advance God's kingdom. And so when we look at the book of Acts, we see Luke continues to venerate women and elevate the status of women, just as Jesus Christ did. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it reads, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Women are an active part of the prayer circle of believers. Acts chapter 2, verse 18, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy." The gift of the Spirit are not limited to men. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of spirit and wisdom." Women were a part of the selection process for the deacons of the church. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Baptism was extended to women as well. Acts chapter 9, verse 2, "Paul asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Both men and women received the same level of persecution. Acts chapter 16, verse 13, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gates to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. They received the gospel and were not discriminated against." And so as we look at verse 14 here, we see that Among these women was Lydia, and because of the nature of her work and the wide demand of her product, we have good reason to believe that she was wealthy, which opened up the opportunity to support the apostles in their journey by providing lodging for them. Furthermore, her home becomes a central place in Philippi to aid in the spread of the gospel in that region. Acts chapter 17, verse 4, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. Women clearly had some measure of status in the Athenian community, and now they were persuaded towards the gospel and most likely used their influence to continue the spread of it. Acts 17, verse 12, as a result, many of them believe, also did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So from Athens to Berea, we see that women played a prominent role in their societies to the point that they were considered prominent, which can be translated that they were influential. Their influence would serve to spread the gospel. Acts chapter 17, verse 34, some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. To be named in the gospel clearly carries some special weight. Their convictions must have been so moving that Luke was compelled to mention them, thus setting them apart from other prominent women who received and committed themselves to the gospel. Acts chapter 18, verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, where Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Priscilla is here mentioned along with her husband Aquila as being co-teachers in the gospel, ministering to those who have clearly been filled with the Spirit through the gift of teaching, taking them on to nurture them in their development by filling in the gospel to their message. And then Acts chapter 21, verse 9, it says, Philip had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And so clearly women possessed in equal measure the gifts of the Spirit, not only in the gifts of teaching, but in the gifts of prophecy. And so what can we take away? Well, I offer here five takeaways for us. Number one, God has crafted you for a special purpose. He has designed you like no other. Embrace it and use it for the kingdom of God. Secondly, women, if you're trying to be like a man, you will fail. Be 100% woman and God will bless you greatly. Thirdly, women have an inherent nurturing quality that men possess in low quantity comparatively. It's a scientific fact. Embrace it. Number four, when women embrace their role as nurturers and supporters, great leaders rise up and lead God's people. And five, most important, especially in our particular paradigm, women are an indispensable part of the advancement of God's kingdom. This is Jerry Nelson with Grafted Together. God bless.
Grafted Together is a presentation of the Association of Christian Schools International. Learn more about biblical worldview and spiritual formation at acsi.org/graftedtogether.